broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt starts now. This is indeed the broadcast for April the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land. Wow, the Constitution for the United States of America. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we're convinced the checks and balance is absolutely brilliant. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand free talk radio. If you have the heart to help, we'd love it. Every penny will help us grow our presence in the media. LibertyRoundtable.com. On Friday, I didn't do a broadcast on Saturday, not feeling too well, trying to recover, get some sleep, catch up. Life is crazy, man. Too many things to do on the planet, but you got to prioritize, right? There you go. So Saturday took a quick break, did not do the normal recap. But Friday's broadcast, two-year, $35 million witch hunt. Yes, indeed. 2,800-plus subpoenas issued. 500 witnesses interviewed. Nearly 500 search warrants carried out, 230-plus communications records demanded, and ultimately the evidence for special counsel Robert Mueller. Well, he amassed over 2 years of investigative materials, and he did not establish a conspiracy. But the conspiracy theorists continue on, sad to say. Yeah, crazy conspiracy theories continue. Mueller finds that Jared Kushner was top target of Russian influence, but he did not engage, they say. Mueller report, can you trust? The redacted document is the question. Well, it gets stranger because Newt Gingrich made a statement about Seth Rich's death. Now more pieces are falling into place. Even Newt thinks the death is very, very strange. Interestingly enough, it's a story for 2017 brought back in 2019 because all things are converging to Democratic criminality. GOP warns the Democrats to get their house in order. That's kind of an interesting twist. We talked about historically all black male college will accept women who believe they're men now. Very strange brew, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about born alive abortion bill approved in the North Carolina legislature. That was great news, but then sad news. Governor Roy Cooper vetoes. Sadly, I bet they don't have enough to override the governor, huh? Fox News stars pull plug on history of church attacks. I guess they hang up on the Catholic League president, French official, etc. They don't want to talk about it, folks. The cover-up by Fox. So much of the we report, you decide. I guess swept under the rug in these cases, huh? Seattle imposes ad ban to an all... Well, I guess they had a ban, right? They wanted to annul Pamela Jeller's free speech lawsuit. She had a victory. She wanted to highlight the victory. But no, government up there in Seattle shut her right on down. Student activists more empowered than ever after leftist attacks. We approach everyone with kindness. That's good news. We need more of that in America, don't we? Hour two on Friday. We had our guest on Richard Mack, thefreedomcoalition.com, CSPOA.org. And we talked about Donald Trump hosting Wisconsin rally on the night of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Once again, President Trump not going to the dinner. He's going to spend time with the people. That's actually good news in Donald's defense, isn't it? Julian Assange, believe it or not, offered a huge reward relating to finding out who the killers were for Seth Rich. Yeah, that's interesting. The American Family Association urges companies to sever their SPLC ties. They say, see our newspaper ad. The SPLC, believe it or not, has become a hate for cash machine that has weaponized its, quote, labeling. Its hate labeling of groups and individuals. Now the SPLC's, quote, hate for cash machine has been described from within. Yeah, you heard me. From within as a highly profitable scam. Its founder, Morris Dees, believe it or not, was fired. Its president, Richard Cohen, ended up resigning, ladies and gentlemen. And its top lawyer departs as the scandal spreads. So the Southern Poverty Law Center losing credibility big time. In fact, the American Family Association says we placed a full ad, a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal, calling on these tech titans to sell their SPLC stocks or whatever. What do you call it? Sever their SPLC ties. That's good news. We need more of that for sure. But again, many say the Southern Poverty Law Center will just change their name. They got plenty of cash to keep a rolling. So expect just to, have the chameleon change their colors. But same story, abuse of all things good, honorable, and right. We told you that the Southern Poverty Law Center was dishonest, scandalous for years. And they laughed at us, ignored us, and called us conspiracy nuts and racists and haters. And wow, they did their duty well, didn't they? The truth will set you free. I'll tell you that right now. All right, thanks for being along. That's hour one in the can. Hour two in the can. That was Friday's broadcast. No show on Saturday. News the networks refused to use today starts now. And Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
All right, before we get started with the topics you brought to the table, I just want to say this. It was a delightful Easter weekend. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. And I quote from Tim Wildman, the president of the American Family Association. His quote is this. To my fellow Christians, I say he has risen. And then he goes on to say, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17. I couldn't agree more. He has risen, ladies and gentlemen. We add our testimonies to those that have already been given. He does live. He has risen. He did break the bands of death. And the best of all is because of that, he's given us the opportunity to repent, to follow him, to do our very best. And you know what? He promises us if we do that and receive baptism, he'll do the rest. So can I be saved of my own merit? Absolutely not. On the other hand, who saves me? Christ alone. However, he has asked me to do certain things. And that's where I think a lot of people get confused, thinking that, hey, because Christ has the power to save, that he'll do it with nothing on my part. It isn't true. He's asked me to do my part, and I must be willing to obey and to follow him. It reminds me of the rich man. He said, hey, I've been a good guy all my life. What lack I yet? And the Savior said, you know what? Give all thy riches away and follow me. He said he can't do that. He walked away sad. Well, I'll tell you this, you know what? I don't have riches to give, but I do know this. He's asked for me to make my will his will and to do what he asks. He did that in the Garden of Gethsemane for his father. He said, please let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Savior followed his father's will. He then asks us to do the same, to follow him, to have faith and repentance unto baptism. You'll receive it as a gift, the Holy Ghost, if you do so. So bottom line is Tim Wildman taking the lead with a great Easter message. I wanted to highlight that and add my witness. Your thoughts, Lowell? Did you have a great Easter weekend, sir?
Yes, sir. We went as a family. All three of our girls and their families all got together up in Cache Valley. We enjoyed the afternoon, had eats and treats, of course, a little bit of Easter egg hunt and games, and just a really great time. But you know, my favorite part of Easter, Sam, really is not only the worshipful, I don't know, attitude, the spirit that comes and prevails, you know, in the home during the Easter season, but I really love the hymns, singing about our Savior, the hallelujah type hymns and choruses, just brings the spirit of Easter right into your heart with greater power than otherwise would be there. I think music has such a big, powerful influence on us, and it's so important that we listen to good music, and that particularly at Easter time, it's like 1 week out of the year we get to sing these songs, these hymns, these anthems. And I wish it were like 4 weeks out of the year, because they're so beautiful and so uplifting, Sam.
Yeah, amen to that. I think the music is certainly something to be greatly focused on and appreciated. You know, we had a great Easter dinner, and after dinner, before we started playing some games and having fun together as family and friends and loved ones, you know, I said, hey, let's just kind of go around the room and mention what Easter means to you. And I said, you know, we know that he is risen, and I don't want you to focus on that. Not that I don't think that's important. Obviously, it is important. But I wanted folks to dig a little deeper in their thoughts. And so we just had a tremendous conversation about the Savior Jesus Christ and about the gospel and about how grateful we were for it, etc. Kurt, you want to chime in?
I was just trying to think of what to add from what you guys have already mentioned. You know, I mean, I'd say mine is a mix of those things. I enjoy watching occasionally with the little grandkids. They want to watch a movie, so then I try to pick out some Easter stuff, you know, and there were some really good things that reminded me of, hey, I guess you could say the real reason for the season, huh?
Amen to that. Yes, sir. By the way, I just emailed my buddy Lowell, says Happy Easter, and I sent him a song.
Cool.
And the song relates to the American Heritage Chorus Choir. They got this awesome rendition of He Is Risen. I just forwarded that to you, my friend. Happy Easter to you and your family. Happy Easter to every family member listening to your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, Sam and Kurt live, Lowell Nelson riding shotgun, campaignforliberty.org. So I want to talk about Unplanned, but before we get to that, I got this movie review from the mainstream press and Provo Daily Herald. And they talked about the curse of La Llorona, I guess is what you call this thing. They say it brought good fortune at the box office. The Warner Brothers horror flick, based on a Mexican legend about a woman who murdered her children and wanders the world looking for them. It brought in $26.5 million, according to studio estimates on the Sabbath. Wow, putting it into the top spot on its opening weekend. I guess that's going to be before the Avengers. they call it Endgame, arrives to the theaters, but Curse of La Llorona ended the two-week reign of Shazam. It used to be in the top spot. The DC
That's
Comics.
Shazam, Sam.
Huh?
Shazam.
Shazam. All right, Shazam, Shazam. I don't really, you know, watch any of these superheroes. Did you watch
it,
Kurt?
I just thought, no, but I heard about it, so I know.
All right, it got $17.3 million and came into second place in this thing. That was a three-week domestic total. Anyway, they go on and on. I guess it had $121.3 million, and it just goes on and on and on. They don't mention Unplanned at all in this list. And I don't know if it's just because they don't want to mention it. I don't know if it's because dollar-wise it's not, quote, justifiable. You know, I don't really get it, right? Anyway, maybe Kirk can look up and see how much Unplanned has brought in since its start and how many theaters it's been in. But I just find that interesting. Meanwhile, movie Unplanned got featured in the New American Magazine, lol.
Sure did, Sam. Cover story. Very nice. Story write up by Troy. His name is the Troy. What was his name right here? Mr. Troy Anderson wrote about it, and it really does a great job of outlining the story and then indicating that it's just one of many movies, or one of several movies, I should say, that might have an impact in the coming months or years for the overturning of the faithful Supreme Court decision in 1973 called Roe versus Wade, or Roe v. Wade, people call it. In fact, the title of this article is this, Unplanned. Could Roe v. Wade be overturned soon? Reviewing the situation here, Abby Johnson, she was Planned Parenthood's superstar. Basically, in 8 years, she rose from a college volunteer to one of their youngest clinic directors, to Employee of the Year for Planned Parenthood, right to the top. And there she assisted, and then she assisted with an ultrasound-guided abortion for the very first time. This is about after 8 years of Planned Parenthood. She saw what, for her, was a life-changing event. She said, we were expanding abortion services and our affiliates to perform abortions through 6 months of pregnancy. Johnson told the New American, I didn't support abortion that far into the pregnancy. Then we were instructed to double our abortion quota, a certain number of abortions that we had to sell to women coming in, which was bothersome to me. And at the time, Johnson believed foolishly, she says, what she had been told, that Planned Parenthood was trying to keep abortion rare. But the demand to double their abortion quota did not align with what she believed the nonprofit organization's mission was. So in October 2009, that was the fateful morning when a coworker asked her to assist with an abortion at that clinic in Texas. Ultimately, Johnson says, I left Planned Parenthood after witnessing a live ultrasound-guided abortion procedure where I saw a 13-week-old baby fight and struggle for his life against the abortion instrument, only to lose his life. And I knew that there was humanity in the womb. So just a blockbuster article, Sam. Now, there are several interesting facts that I wanted to bring out from this article that I had forgotten about. Number one, since the controversial 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, more than 61 million unborn children have died. Now, typically people say that number is about 40 million, but this is basically an update to that number. Over 61 million unborn children killed. Planned Parenthood, as an organization, reported more than $1.6 billion, that's billion with a B, as in boy, $1.6 billion in revenues in 2017 and 18, while posting over $240 million in what they called excess revenue, because it's a nonprofit organization. That doesn't mean they don't make money, but that's just financial or tax status. Anyway, estimated to have made nearly $160 million performing over 330 abortions last year, according to the National Right to Life Annual Report. So, Unplanned is one of several movies, I said, that is coming out right now. We already covered a movie several months ago called God's Knell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. That was came out October of 2018. But coming in 2019, later this year, Roe v. Wade is the name of the next, maybe the third in this trio of movies. And then after that comes Order of Rights, which is in pre-production, and then The Moral Outcry, still in pre-production work. So there's five movies, Sam, that will have another impact on this particular issue. Just fascinating, Sam. Now, let's remind ourselves of one other thing. A sonogram did not exist in 1973. Sonograms came into use 12 years later in 1985. So a dozen years after the Roe v. Wade decision, we began to be able to see what's in the womb. And the sonogram shows that you can detect a heartbeat at 6 weeks. And in fact, the heart actually begins beating at 12 to 21 days. So Dr. Matthew Clark is quoted in this article. He reminds us that the U.S. Supreme Court is fallible. They've reversed their own rulings over 200 times. I had no idea, Sam. They've reversed their own ruling over 200 times. And so Clark goes on to say, he says the Supreme Court, they were wrong about Roe v. Wade, and the states need to stand up and tell them so and refuse to submit, to ignore Roe v. Wade. That's what we need to be crying out across our country. So then the end part of the article, Sam, this article by Troy Anderson, talks about state nullification of unconstitutional or immoral federal action. That as an imperative duty. Because as the founding generations wrote over and over to each other, the duties have a state to erect the barriers against encroachment of the national authority. So it's also the case that all 50 states, Sam, they have safe haven laws that decriminalize the leaving of a baby at a hospital, police, or fire station, or with a statutorily designated private person. In other words, we're not going to have coat hanger abortions on the street corners just because states make laws against abortion or prohibiting abortion, because we have these safe haven laws. You can go ahead and have the child, and if you cannot or choose not to raise that child, there are these safe haven laws that allow you to put your child, make him a ward of the state, and they will find a home for your child, and you're not classified as a criminal for taking advantage of safe haven law.
That's because we don't believe in pro-life in America. The pro-death agenda seems to move forward at breakneck speed. There is a little bit of hope, though. Okay, I know it seems very, very negative indeed, ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciate the New American in their April 8th edition making the unplanned movie in the reality of murder and pro-death their cover story. That's phenomenal news. But I'm telling you, could Roe v. Wade be overturned soon? There is good news, Lowell.
Absolutely, Sam. And that is because there seems to be a sentiment growing throughout the country against the practice of abortion, particularly when New York passed the abortion law that allows you to kill a baby just before, you know, minutes before his birth. And then you have couple other governors around the country cheering that type of legislation. It's absolutely horrifying, and it's an affront to the psyche of the American people. And I think the American people, Sam, are beginning to realize that this is a practice that, you know, we need to eradicate. We need to eliminate this practice, and that's what's going to basically culturally. I'm not saying political solution or judicial solution, but culturally. There seems to be a backlash against this evil practice, and I find that very encouraging. Now,
the negative is the backlash is really knowledge only right now. So far, not a whole lot's been done, at least except by two groups. One, President Trump has done a lot of good. Number two, the states have done a lot of good. It's up to we, the people, to stand in the gap and give them the support they need. Could Roe v. Wade be overturned? We pray the answer is yes. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with details in seconds on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Easter Sunday morning attacks in Sri Lanka, bombings at 8 locations that killed nearly 300 people, followed a nationwide warning that was issued about a week earlier. The Sri Lankan Secretary of Defense says the alert did go out, however,
we never expected an attack of this magnitude.
Meanwhile, police in Sri Lanka say today some bombs have detonated outside a church in the capital, but this time no one was killed or injured. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says he believes President Trump did obstruct justice. The Democrat says he believes the special counsel Robert Mueller's report points to the fact that Mueller didn't feel he could indict a sitting president despite multiple findings of obstruction, and that the most he could do was to say that the findings didn't exonerate President Trump. And this is USA Radio News.
Did you know that the IRS is getting more aggressive these days and they're using private agencies to track you down? Don't wait. If you owe more than $10,000, take advantage of the Fresh Start Initiative, a program in place that can help you now. You can save thousands and possibly have your taxes forgiven. Call the MC Preferred Tax Services helpline now about the Fresh Start program. If you qualify, it'll stop the IRS collection agencies from coming after you within 24 hours. Get the break you deserve and call about the Fresh Start Initiative now. Call the tax hotline now at 800-690-1430. Hurry, or it'll just get worse. Let MC Preferred Tax Services stop the IRS from targeting you within 24 hours. Call the hotline now at 800-690-1430. That's 800-690-1430. There's help for those of you who owe $10,000 or more, but it's important that you take action before these programs change. Call the special tax hotline now at 800-690-1430. That's 800-690-1430. 800-690-1430.
A strong earthquake struck in the Philippines. The U.S. Geological Survey pegs it at a 6.3 magnitude when it struck the capital of Manila. No immediate reports of death or injury. The wife of a Missouri Ku Klux Klan leader is pleading guilty to his murder. Melissa Ancona entering the plea on Friday to second-degree murder and other charges for shooting and killing Frank Ancona Jr. in 2017. Ancona will serve life in prison rather than get the death penalty as part of her plea deal. Back to President Trump, whose team is continuing its defense of the president, citing special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report and saying that it shows no collusion and no obstruction. Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer, says,
did Trump or anyone from the Trump campaign participate in the dissemination of hacked material? And the answer is no. It had already been disseminated. So he is free, clear of an allegation.
He was speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, and this is USA.
All right, I kind of mentioned yesterday during Easter, I mentioned that, you know, if Americans put as much time into Christ, pro-life, the Christian cause, the sacred Christian cause, if you will, as they do in sports, we'd have America fixed today. I bring that up, Lowell, because our role in this is critical. The states have done a pretty good job at pro-life. They got a lot to go, but they're trying hard. There's a lot of good Christians doing a lot. They get shut down every day by the courts and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Governors shut them down. But it's a very small minority that has incredible power. But Donald Trump has done his best, although he's been getting shut down left and right as well. But we, the people, are the ones that need to double down and make the push, sir.
You're exactly right. You mentioned Trump, and he gave, as part of his State of the Union address, Sam, a very moving description of what we ought to do in this area. He said, quote, there could be no greater contrast to the beautiful image of a mother holding her infant child than the chilling displays our nation saw in recent days. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world. And then we had the case of the governor of Virginia, where he stated he would execute a baby after birth to defend. And then he goes on you know, as part of his union, State of the Union address, suggesting that Congress, you know, make a law against that. But this really is a state issue, Sam. It's a domestic issue. And to give you some idea of the magnitude of these 61 million abortions, Sam, did you know that we do not today have a state in the union that is populated by that many people? You have to put two states together, California, which has almost 40 million people, and Florida, which has almost 21 million people. Those two states, the population, the current population of California and Florida together amount to the number of children that have been killed in the womb since 1973 by abortion, Sam. I find that just devastating.
It is shocking, but it highlights the reality of the pro-death agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, we have got to double down and do something about it. The good news is people are trying. Do you think we can really end Roe versus Wade? Five judges, as far as I understand, have an open mind on this topic, right?
That's right, Sam. Up to five judges they never say will, but there's a gentleman who does a lot of work there, and he believes that that five of them are open to that possibility of overturning Roe v. Wade. Now, do I believe that that should be the final? I think it would be great if they did, but it's really up to the states. States need to have a backbone. They need to grow a backbone and simply ignore Roe v. Wade. And, I mean, that's nullification of an unconstitutional law. It's nullification of a position that the general government took outside of the bounds of the Constitution. The states did not give to the federal government, to the general government, any authority for domestic issues such as family, divorce, health, education, abortion. I mean, these types of things were entirely and still are the purview of the state. Any state with backbone could today stand up and ignore this law and tell the feds to take a hike when it comes to abortion if we just had that kind of courage in our state legislatures, in our governors, in our county sheriffs. That's what it would take. But just one other thing, Sam, I want to talk about. The second article in the New American, not only did it have a cover story, but it had another article about the movie Unplanned, which I found absolutely, just moving. Why? Well, because this actress, Ashley Bratcher, is the one who played the part of Abby Johnson in the movie. And it turns out, Sam, that she did not know something about herself and her mom until she accepted the part for the movie. And this is totally, this will knock your socks off, Sam. In making the film, actress Bratcher learned something about her own life that she never knew. Her mother told her in a telephone conversation that she had an abortion when she was younger and was going to abort you, but I chose not to. And she says, what happened? And Ashley, these are her words, said Ashley. Now, remember, this is Bratcher's mom talking to Ashley, the actress who portrayed Abby Johnson in this movie. She said, Ashley, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told you before. I mean, this is just like last year, Sam. She goes on, she says, what you don't know is that when I was 19, I was in the clinic for the second time. I'd been called back, and I was on the table being examined by a very pregnant nurse, and I got sick, and I knew that I couldn't go through with it. And I decided to get up, and I walked out and decided to have you. And so talk about a revelation. This Ashley Bratcher came to find out that she almost didn't have a life. She says, more than anything, I was overwhelmed with a feeling of, wow, that this life I'm living almost never happened. She says that she had been kind of middle of the road in terms of her views on abortion, but hearing Abby Johnson's testimony and then playing her in the film really got my attention, she says, and I had a final, and I have now a firmer stance on abortion. And then she ends the article this way, Sam, she says, and then to come to find out on top of that I was almost aborted myself, it was just mind-blowing to think that having never known that here I was speaking and performing as one of the greatest pro-life voices of our time. I don't have words for how much I thank or how much I think that God loves us and that he would do something like that, that he would craft my story in that way. Sam?
There you have it. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt? Unplanned, doing a great job, starting to have people understand what's really at stake here and what's really going on. Even the actress that plays Abby Johnson was almost murdered. Thank heavens her mother had a pang of respect for life and an understanding of her motherly role. And as a result, we have a great film. Without that, we would have had to, what, search for somebody else to advocate for life because she would have been murdered too? This stuff is riveting, Kurt, but the mainstream press just ain't even talking about it. I tried to look up box office results for Unplanned, and they're all 3 weeks old and stuff.
Yeah, I did the same thing, and you just don't, you know, that's the problem, Sam. I mean, it's the same old thing we've talked about forever. He who owns the media makes the rules. If the you know, New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, et cetera, and the AP, you know, chose to, they could tell everybody about Unplanned, but they've got other plans.
You're right about that, but I'm starting to kind of update my view a little bit on he who owns the media makes the rules. Let me give you an example. Let's say that a paper does have a pang of reality where a news organization does want to tell the truth. All Google's got to do is filter them out, too. And pretty soon they become rendered irrelevant. So it's a little bit more than just the mainstream press these days. It's a few elitists in bed with government.
Well, that's right. That's the new media, right? The Google.
Yeah. So I bring this up just because, again, it's a little different than it used to be. It used to be we could talk about, you know, 5-10 media outlets that just wouldn't tell the tale or whatever. Now it's, even if they are willing to tell the tale, what will happen is they'll just get ramrodded and shut down and framed and manipulated too. And so they don't dare report it, partially because they know that Google will shut them down. Facebook will shut them down. Twitter and Instagram will shut them down. YouTube will shut them down if they do. So now it's almost a double-edged blackout, if you will. But I can't even find the update on Unplanned in terms of the box office results that's recent and up to date. They've flat out spiked the story as far as I can tell. But anyway, enough on Unplanned. We'll keep an eye on this ball for you. I'm just telling you, the April 8th edition of the New American, tremendous reporting, tremendous work, and we wanted a partner in telling that story. Could Roe versus Wade be overturned? Our prayers are the answer, yes. We better work to make that happen, though, folks. We can't just leave it in the hands of another and hope they'll get it done. We need to all work together. All right, co-conspirator. Ecuador paid off by the United States to deliver Assange to the hands of the Donald. This is a real black mark on Donald's presidency, lol.
It is. It's hard to know how much he had a hand in this.
Well, the details you report here says he had plenty hand in it.
Well, I know that Vice President Pence had a hand in it. He went to Ecuador just weeks ago, and not long after the trip is when Ecuador turned over Assange, and we'll talk about how that happened, how that came to happen.
But I can't believe Donald's not involved in it when the second in command has his, you know what, he's up to his neck in it. I just can't believe Donald's not involved. And if he is not involved, then he needs to stand up boldly, nobly, and independently. But again,
yeah.
Donald in denial right now, or at least pretend denial that he even knows Assange. Hang tight, folks.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future? and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, got to get right to it. Not enough time to tell the tale. Not long after a trip from Mike Pence, vice president, to Ecuador to hand over Julian Assange a $4.2 billion IMF loan appears on the scene, lol.
That's right, Sam. And that was the first of a three-part deal. So they didn't get the whole $4.2 billion in one thing, but they got the first part of a three-part deal. So the way this probably came down was that Pence went to Ecuador and said, look, if you want this money, you got to turn Assange over to us. And so the probably the Ecuadorian president said, well, you got to show me the money if you think I'm going to move for you guys. And so they showed him a third of this money. I don't know, maybe $2 billion of it. I don't know the amount, but they put that, you know, they gave that to Ecuador, and then the next thing you know, Assange gets rooted out of the embassy there in the UK, and he's now facing extradition. He's still in jail, of course, but facing extradition. So basically, you know, if you do what Washington wants you to do, then you get a bribe, you get paid for, you get money. But if you don't do what Washington wants you, then you get retribution. It's the carrot and the stick approach that the U.S. has in its foreign policy. Now, for those of you who think this is unique to Ecuador, that this is like a one-time deal that the U.S. did for Ecuador just to get Assange, think again, because they actually have, in the Army manual, they call it Army Special Operations Forces Unconventional Warfare. It's a field manual the Army uses. They talk about this very thing, about using financial pressure, both incentives. They call them incentives, but it can be used both as an incentive or as punishment. And so I'm going to quote this manual.
Or both, by the way. And let's be very clear, Julian Assange leaked this. The reason we know this is because of Julian, right?
Yeah, he leaked it back in 2010, Sam.
So it's interesting that Julian is the one involved in leaking this, and then this is used right in his face to literally force Ecuador to blink and to bring Assange to the United States. And that's why I can't dismiss Mike Pence, and I can't dismiss Donald Trump. It's too close of a tie, and I can't dismiss this manual and the leak by Assange, and then, hey, this is payback, right?
Yeah, it is. They actually call it their regime change handbook, this thing I'm going to quote here. You can go find this on the web just by searching, WikiLeaks, IMF, World Bank, unconventional weapons, stuff like that. But let me just quote this one part of this. It says, financial incentives and disincentives can build and sustain international coalitions waging or supporting U.S. UW campaigns. And this UW campaign basically is unconventional warfare. That's what UW stands for. So basically, this is a manual on how to conduct unconventional warfare. As part of an interagency effort, the U.S. Treasury can recommend changes to U.S. policy that can provide such incentives to state governments, meaning states meaning other nations, to state governments and others at the national strategic policy level. And it goes on here, talking about the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the Bank for International Settlements. I mean, all of these organizations, Sam, they exist because they're funded primarily, and the majority of their funding comes from the U.S. taxpayer. Basically, the U.S. funds the bulk of these funds, the World Bank, IMF. And because of that, U.S. can basically tell these funds what to do with their money. And so that's why, you know, Pence can go to Ecuador and promise them $4 billion if they'll just release Assange to the U.S. And then the IMF just magically gives the money to them. It's evil, Sam. It's insidious. But this is the weaponization of the IMF. It's the weaponization of World Bank. It's really sad to see this going on. I mean, I don't mind. And the reason it's the worst part about it, Sam, is that they steal from the taxpayer. They, by coercion, by the barrel of a gun, they take your money. And then they use it to change regimes in countries around the world. For example, Chile received no loans from the IMF nor the World Bank while the democratically elected socialist Salvador Allende was in office from 70 to 73. However, after a CIA-backed coup ended Allende's term, Allende, I guess they call it, and ended over four decades of uninterrupted democratic rule, both institutions happily lended to the new ruling dictator, Augusto Pinochet. Pinochet reversed Allende's nationalizations and began a violent regime of political suppression that executed and imprisoned tens of thousands of people. And I could go on and on, Sam. There's a really great article at thecitizen.org talking about the crimes of the IMF, the crimes of the World Bank. This thing with Ecuador is not an isolated situation. It tends to be the status quo, Sam, and the way U.S. conducts its foreign policy. I just find it outrageous, Sam.
There you have it. All I can tell you is, what a shame. Do what Washington says, get a bribe. Don't do what Washington says, get a bomb. And that's kind of what we're seeing in Mike Pence at the helm of this. You know what? I've liked Mike Pence and his pro-life stance, but he's sure pro-death and hawkish when it comes to war. And you know what? His forced bribe to convince Ecuador to hand over Julian Assange to the Americans, if you will, is a shame. And the bottom line is Donald is too close to this one to ignore, though.
Yeah, he probably is, Sam.
And if he's not, and he got snookered by his VP, you know what? He's come out against other leaders boldly attacking people who are in his administration he disagrees with. So, you know what? There's no reason he can't stand up on this one either. He used to praise WikiLeaks and praise Julian Assange when he was on the campaign trail. But it reminds me of Lock Up Hillary on the campaign trail and then not a blip about doing it at all once he's elected. It's the same thing with the birth certificate. Hey, you know what? Big deal. But yet, when he has the power to find out the truth, well, not there. Not getting it done. And we can make up all kinds of excuses. Chuck Baldwin wrote a column, too, saying, when are we going to quit making excuses for the Donald? And this one is too in your face. Too in your face to ignore, especially with this military document tie, Lowell.
It really is, Sam. And, you know, I go back to something I said a couple of shows ago. I would much rather have a president or a vice president who's unfaithful to his own wife, but have a foreign policy that preserves lives around the world, than I would have a president who's faithful to his wife and yet has an interventionist foreign policy that ends up, that results in the death of thousands and even millions of people, right? I mean, particularly in Utah, in fact, they get down on Trump because they say, well, he has no morals and blah blah blah, but to his credit, you know, he hasn't expanded wars, you know, to many nations in the world. And I wish he really talks about stopping wars, and I hope that happens. I really hope that the American people continue to pound on Congress and insist that we end the wars throughout the world. Now, sadly to say, Trump vetoed Senate Joint Resolution 7, which would have ended U.S. support of the war on Yemen. This civil war in Yemen has been going on 4 years and is resulting in the deaths of thousands and thousands of people over there from a cholera outbreak. They don't have the infrastructure anymore to handle their waste. They don't have foods, commodities, medical supplies coming in because of the blockade that we're supporting in the port of Hodeidah. And there's just massive, massive death going on over there. And there was a glimmer of light, Sam. We talked about this last week, where the Senate passed this resolution, the House passed this resolution, directing the president to remove the United States Armed Forces from hostilities in or affecting the Republic of Yemen.
And this is an example where Donald says a lot of the right things, but when push comes to shove, it's an about-face.
And he exercised his veto power, and it's the second time, Sam, in his presidency, the second veto was of this resolution to stop the Saudi-led aggression against Yemen. I was just so heartsick that he did.
Donald basically said, "Keep the war going, gentlemen."
Yeah, he did. He wrote this in his veto message. He says, "This resolution is an unnecessary, dangerous attempt to weaken my constitutional authorities, endangering the lives of American citizens and brave service members, both today and in the future. This joint resolution is unnecessary because, apart from counterterrorism operations against al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and ISIS, the United States is not engaged in hostilities in or affecting Yemen." That's an absolutely lie, Sam. Flat out lie. We are engaged.
Well, and whether Donald knows it's a lie or whether he's, you know, just manipulated by his, quote, top military pro-death, pro-war advisors, I don't really know. But I know this. At some point, there's got to be accountability somewhere. And when you betray Assange like VP Pence did, and you literally use International Monetary Fund money to create bribes against foreign powers, and you literally then double down and promote war, even though Congress, who has proper authority, says no. And you literally then pretend that you have authority over the war powers and the funding and spending of this. What you're doing is you're holding Congress hostage by this, because no congresswoman or man separately could stand against the funding on this, or else, hey, they're betraying the troops. Not literally, but that's the, quote, court of public opinion due to the pro-war, pro-death, warlike people mentality we have perpetuated for literally decades. And so that's where the rubber meets the road on this one. And I'm here to defend President Trump when he does right, but I'm also here to tell the truth about constitutional authority and powers. And the president doesn't understand what his authority or power is. He needs to read the Constitution for guidance, but he hasn't done it. And so he thinks his power is being threatened. But Senator Mike Lee talked about this big time.
He did, at a town hall at American Heritage School just last week, Sam. I attended with my buddy Ken Cromar, and Mike Lee addressed this very resolution, because he and Bernie Sanders together sponsored this resolution, Senate Joint Resolution Number 7. And the reason I'm just fiercely proud of Mike Lee at times like this. He took the first 5 or 10 minutes of the town hall meeting to describe his position on Yemen and why he stood up against the president on this issue. He was spot on, Sam, because he said he talked specifically about Congress's failure over the years, the decades actually, to take responsibility for the declaration of war. He is spot on this. It is the responsibility of the U.S. Congress to declare war or not. And they've given up that authority to the executive, unfortunately, when it really should rest solely with Congress.
And Lee basically said, hey, you know what? Congress has had a failure over the years to take and keep their key responsibility for the declaration of war. And that responsibility rests solely with Congress. Lee is spot on. Good for him. We got to stand up, but I'm disappointed in the Donald. And there you have it, Lowell. Great work, sir. Thanks for the updates.
Hey, you're right, Sam. Hey, Unplanned was number 5 last weekend. It is still doing very well at the box office. Go see it today, folks.
Amen to that. Do you have the numbers, the dollars?
I don't have the dollars.
We'll keep looking for it, ladies and gentlemen. It's like pulling teeth to get information on what's right and good and honorable. Thanks, Lowell. Happy Easter. Extended weekend to you and your family. We declare this nation shall endure.